Today's shir is Masechta Sukkah, Daf Yud. We will begin on Daf Tesama Bey's 11 lines from the bottom. In our previous shir, we had learned that the Mishnah taught us that Sukkah Tachas Sukkah, Tanakamas Tzod, Halyonik Sheir, the upper Sukkah, is Kasher, Vitachtoina Psula, and the bottom Sukkah is Pasul. And Rabbi Huda in the Mishnah said, Im Ein Diyurim Belav Yoina, if there's no one in the upper Sukkah, Hatachtoinik Sheir. Begins our Gemara to deeper analyze the halach of a sukkah tachas sukkah. Am Rabbi Yirmiya Pamam, shesukkah shteim ksheris. There are circumstances when you have one sukkah on top of another sukkah that both are kosher. Pamam shesteim psulas, both are disqualified. Pamam tachtonik ksher vel yonah psula. The times that the lower sukkah will be kosher and the upper one will not be. And pamam shetachtonik psula vel yonah kshera, and vice versa. And the Gemara analyzes each one of these situations. Says the Gemara, Pamim Shashtem Ksheris, sometimes both sukkahs are kosher. Hey Chidami, what is the case? Kigoin, Shetachtoin Achamtsim Rubim Etzelsa. The lower sukkah does not have proper schach. The Chamtsim Rubim Etzelsa, as we've learned many times, if it's Chamtsim Rubim Etzelsa, it's not considered a valid sukkah. Velyoina, and the upper sukkah, Tzelsim Rubim Chamtsa, does have proper schach. The kaimel yoina, and the upper sukkah is betoich esrim, is within 20 amas of the ground. So now both sukkahs are kosher. The upper sukkah is kosher because it has all of the qualities of a kosher sukkah. It's not 20 amas above the ground and has proper schach. The lower sukkah is also kosher because it relies on the schach of the upper sukkah. And the disqualification of sukkah takas sukkah doesn't apply here, because since, as we just said, the lower sukkah has schach, which is chamsa bruba mitzilsa, by having that type of schach, it's considered as if it doesn't have schach at all. And therefore, since it doesn't have schach at all, it's not considered a sukkah. So even though to us it looks like a sukkah, it doesn't make a difference. It's halachically not a sukkah, and that's why the sukkah, you could sit in either of those sukkahs. Pam shteim psulus. There are times that both sukkahs will be pasul. Hechigdami kigoyin tavayu tzolsim ram chamson. Both sukkahs have proper schach. The kaima el yoina, and the upper sukkah is lamalam esrim amis, 20 amis above the floor or the roof of the bottom sukkah. So both sukkahs are pasul. The bottom sukkah is pasul because it's a sukkah tachas sukkah, and the upper sukkah is pasul because it's higher than 20 amis, and a sukkah that's higher than 20 amis is disqualified. What's going to be the halacha if the sukkah, and this is a very fundamental question. When we say, as we started our masechta, that if a sukkah is higher than 20 amos, the sukkah is pasul, where do we measure the 20 amos from? Do we measure the 20 amos from the floor, or do we measure the 20 amos of the floor of that sukkah? Rashi, in Daf Yura Amar Aleph, the Remaskul Shtein Psulas, says that we measure it from the floor of the sukkah. And that's why in this Gemara, Rashi said that the case we're talking about is that the sukkah is 20 amos off the schach of the upper sukkah, is 20 amos above the schach of the bottom sukkah. And that's why it's considered, it's lamala michof. But we don't measure, but let's say it would be more than 20 amos from the floor, but not more than 20 amos from the roof of the lower sukkah, that would not be a disqualification for the sukkah. Clearly, Rashi is teaching us that when we look at the 20 amos, we look at from the floor of that sukkah. The Ravid disagrees, and he says that if the sukkah is 20 amos from the ground, even though it's not 20 amos from its ground, it's not 20 amos from the roof of the bottom sukkah, it's still going to be pasul. And the reason, the basis of the machloikus of Rashi and the Ravid really goes back to something we learned at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Beis. Why is a sukkah lamala michof pasul? If we say that if a sukkah is lamala michaf is possible because it's too much of a strong structure, then of course it doesn't make a difference from where we measure. If we measure from the floor, even if we measure from the floor, it's going to have sturdy walls. And that's why the Ravid says that we measure that the sukkah would be possible, even though it's not 20 amas from the roof of the bottom sukkah, but since it's 20 amas from the floor, so it has to have sturdy walls, and that makes it possible. But if we're going to give the other reasons that you have to be able to see the schach, etc., it's not a diris kva, so then maybe that, as Rashi indeed says, the halach is that the sukkah would be a kosher sukkah, even though it's 20 amas from its, if it's not 20 amas from its floor. So here we learned that the difference between this case and the previous case in discussing the lower sukkah is what kind of schach did the lower sukkah have. If the lower sukkah had schach that's tzilsa merubah mechamtza, so that schach doesn't count, and therefore it's not considered its own independent sukkah. But if that sukkah had kosher schach, had schach that makes it good, it's considered chams, then it's a valid sukkah. Once it's a valid sukkah, we have the consideration that we've learned in our Mishnah that the halacha is that sukkah lamal misukkah is possible. We learned also, there's a circumstance where the bottom sukkah is kosher and the upper sukkah will not be. Hey chidami, what's that case going to be? The bottom sukkah is a perfectly fine sukkah. The upper sukkah doesn't have proper schach. Both of the sukkahs are b'toich esrim amma. So the bottom sukkah has all of the conditions to make it a kosher sukkah. The upper sukkah, since it doesn't have proper schach, so it's not considered a sukkah. When is there a halacha that sukkah tach a sukkah is possible? Is when the upper sukkah is a sukkah. But here, the upper sukkah is not a sukkah, and therefore it will not have the ability to disqualify it. Rashi points out that when the sukkah of the upper is chamsa me'elyim, chamsa ruba mitzilsa, that's as if the sukkah, as if it's not considered a sukkah. That means, Rashi explains, because we have to look at the disqualification Rashi's saying. If the disqualification is that it chamsa ruba mitzilsa, that means it doesn't have proper schach. If it doesn't have proper schach, it's not a sukkah. But let's say the upper sukkah would be above 20 amas. No matter how we measure, going back to our discussion of a moment ago, no matter how we measure the 20 amas, that doesn't make that the upper sukkah is not a sukkah. And since it doesn't make that the upper sukkah is not a sukkah, it just has, because it has schach that tzilsa merubah mechamtza, it's just too high up. And therefore, that type of sukkah does have the ability to disqualify the bottom sukkah, because a sukkah whose deficiency is because of the height, that is not considered a sukkah. Pamim shesukkah elyon ksheir v'tachton psula. There's a case where the upper sukkah will be kosher and the bottom one will not. Hechi dami ki goyin tavai tzusim rubim mechamtzim. Both of them are within 20 amos. And the kaim is elyona b'toich esrim, and the upper sukkah is within 20 amas. So the bottom sukkah is possible because it's sukkah lamata misukkah, the subject of our Mishnah. The upper sukkah has all of the necessary qualifications for good sukkah, and that's why it's a kosher sukkah. Ask the Gemara, pshita. We know that a sukkah that's chamtzim ruv mitzilsa, that chamtzim ruv mitzilsa is not a valid sukkah. And therefore, if it's not a valid sukkah, it can't disqualify the bottom sukkah. So what's the chiddush in all of these dinim? Shetachta, says the Gemara, if that's the case, all of these halachas that Rabbi Yirmiyah said don't really represent anything new. They're just really an application of the halacha that we've discussed so many times, that a sukkah to be kosher has to be tzilsa merubah mechamtza, and if it's not chamtza Merubah Metzilsa, the halacha is that it's not kosher sukkah. Answers the Gemara, what Rabbi Yirmiyahu needed to teach us was the case, was Tachtoina Ksher V'Elyoina P'sul Istrichalei. When the bottom sukkah, the case where the bottom sukkah is going to be considered kosher and the upper sukkah is not. As we explained it, it was talking about a case where the bottom sukkah had Tzchach, which was Tzilsa Merubah Mechamtza, and the upper sukkah had Tzchach, that was Chamtza Merubah Metzilsa, and both were in 20 Amos. And as we explained, under those circumstances, the way we understood the Gemara, what happens is that the bottom one has all the necessary conditions of a kosher sukkah, and since the upper one is chamsa merubah metzilsa, it can't disqualify the bottom one. However, says the Gemara, ma'adatem v'nigza dilma mitztarev schach posel b'sach kosher, maybe we should say that the two schachs are going to be combined, and therefore we're going to say that even in a case that when the sukkah is tzilsa merubah mechamtza, we're also going to make a mistake, and then we're going to think also that's not considered sukkah tacha sukkah, and therefore maybe we should always say that the bottom sukkah is posel. So mitzdarv hasach posel b'sach kosher. K'mashalom, we don't make that type of gzeira. And if the conditions of making a sukkah posel are not here, then we don't have to make that. We don't make that consideration. Says the Gemara. And when we look at a sukkah, of course we have schach on the sukkah, and there's typically a thick layer of schach, which is perfectly fine. But if we're learning in our shiurim that there's a concept of sukkah tacha sukkah, what the Gemara is now going to discuss is at what point is all the schach just considered one layer of schach, and therefore it's perfectly fine, just one thick layer of schach, and at what point is it considered sukkah tacha sukkah that has the considerations that we're learning in the Mishnah and the Gemara that we began today's shiur. Says the Kamiyeh ben Sukkah Sukkah, how much distance is between the two schach that we should have tei tachtona psula, that we should have a consideration of sukkah tacha sukkah? Amar Rav Huna, tefach. Rav Huna says, if there's just a tefach dividing the layers of the schach, it already creates a situation of sukkah tacha sukkah. For he says, shekem etzina ba'alei tuma. We find this halacha regarding Hilchas Tumah. He's saying what we're learning from Hilchas Tumas oil, we're going to use to teach us for Hilchas Sukkah. The Torah, when it speaks about Tumas oil, says, kol abala oil, v'kol sheba oil yitma. So we see that there's a special Tumah that applies to Tumas mace, that the Tumah doesn't have to touch the person or the item that it comes in contact with. The fact that it's in the same oil makes that item Tumah. But what is considered an oil? So as we learned earlier in our Masechta, these are all rules which are halacha l'Moshe M'Sinai. And the halacha is that if there's a roof which has the shear of a tefach ha tefach, it covers an area of a tefach ha tefach, and there's an area of a tefach under that roof, that creates a tumas oil. But then we learned another halacha, that if there's no airspace of a tefach between the mace and the roof on top of it, then the tumah is considered tumah ratzutza. Tumah bakas v'oila, the tumah goes up all the way to the rakia. If, however, there's an empty airspace of a tefach between the mace and the roof that's over it, then the tumah stops at the roof. From all of these halachas, we see that when we speak about tumas oil, the most important number, the most important measurement we could think about is a tefach. The Tanan, tefach al tefach, if you have a roof that's a tefach al tefach, berum tefach, which is above the ground by a tefach, maybe it's a tumah, which would mean that if there's tumah on one side of this roof, and there's everything under the roof becomes tumah. Furthermore, for chaytzitz bin a tumah, if there's an empty space of a tefach, that prevents the tumah from penetrating above the roof. Aval pachs merum tefach, if you don't have the height of a tefach, loy mevi. If you don't have that height, then you can't have tumas oil. Veloy choitzitz, and as we said, if you don't have a tefach between the mace and the roof, the tumah will go up, or well, tumah will go up all the way. So we see that when you speak about tumah, the shear is always an oil as a tefach, and therefore says the Gemara, we're going to use the same shear regarding, says Rav Huna, regarding sukkah gabe sukkah, that if there's a tefach in between, that will make it into two separate schachs, and since it's going to make it into two separate schachs, we're going to have the problem of sukkah gabe sukkah. Now, it's very interesting to point out, even though Rav Huna is telling us there only needs to be a tefach between the upper schach and the lower schach to divide them into two schachs, Rav Huna is going to agree that a sukkah can't be kosher when it's just a tefach tall. Of course, there's nobody that holds a sukkah can be kosher when it's just a tefach tall. What Rav Huna is saying is the two halachas of what makes a sukkah kosher and what makes sukkah al-gab sukkah are not connected one to the other. Rav Huna Amri, Arba. That what is the distance between the two schachs that should separate them? It's when you have four tefachim. Shlomitzinu makum choshev, because Rav Chizda teaches us that throughout halacha, we find that what is considered a significant space in halacha, pachs ma'arba. Arba tefachim is considered a choshev place. The Rashi points out, as we spoke in Hilchos Shabbos, when are you chai for carrying on Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? You're chai for carrying in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos when you carried four tefachim. And then there are other halachas that in Hilchos Shabbos that are all dependent on four tefachim. And therefore, Rav Chizda says that the shear is four tefachim. Shmuel has a different opinion. His opinion is that to be considered a situation of sukkah gabe sukkah, you have to have asara. You have to have a distance of 10 tefachim. Says the Gemara, my time to Shmuel. What is the reasoning for Shmuel's opinion? Says the Gemara, kach sheira kach psula. As we learned at the beginning of the Masechet, the first Mishnah, the minimum shear of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. Mach sheira basara, the minimum shear of a sukkah is 10 tefachim. Af psula, so if we want to create, if we want to identify an environment that will be considered a not kosher sukkah, it has to have that height of 10 tefachim. And if you don't have that height, it's not going to be considered sukkah tachas sukkah. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Torah says that the word sukkah, the Torah used the word sukkahs, and we learned in the previous year that you have to have one sukkah and not two sukkahs. And that's why we learned at the end of our previous year that the halacha is that a sukkah tachas sukkah is possible. But when is it considered a sukkah tachas sukkah? When it has the proper shear. But if it doesn't have the proper shear, then it's not considered a proper sukkah. Now, there's a very fundamental question. If Shmuel is teaching us now that in order to be considered a sukkah tachas sukkah, the upper sukkah has to have what it takes to make a sukkah, and what it takes to make a sukkah is 10 tefachim, so why did we learn at the beginning of our shir, the Ritva asks, that if the upper sukkah is 20 amos tall, then it's still going to, and it has proper schach, it's going to be a case of sukkah tachas sukkah. But a sukkah that's over 20 amos, we also learned in the first mission of our Masechta, is not a qualified sukkah. So Ritva says, the sukkah that's 20 amos tall is not inherently disqualified. It's only disqualified because there's a concern that the walls are too strong. It's a dearest kvah. But that doesn't take away from it the name that it's a sukkah. In other words, what Ritva is saying is that there's a fundamental difference between the disqualification of a sukkah which is less than 10 tefachim tall versus a sukkah which is more than 20 amos tall. A sukkah which is less than 20 amos tall, less than 10 tefachim tall, is bechlal not a sukkah. And therefore can create a situation of sukkah tachas sukkah. Whereas a sukkah which is more than 20 amos tall is a sukkah with a disqualification. And therefore, the halacha is that the the sukkah will be disqualified. Furthermore, the question will come up, which the Gemara doesn't discuss at this point, but the Rishonim discuss, with Shmuel saying that to create an environment of sukkah taka sukkah, then the halacha is you have to have 10 tefachim, because that's the minimum size of a sukkah. But we also learned extensively at the beginning of the Masechta, there are dimensions to the width of the sukkah. So if there are dimensions to the width of the sukkah, here too, the halacha will be that if the upper sukkah should be able to disqualify, according to Shmuel, the bottom sukkah, it has to have those dimensions. And if it won't be Zion al Zion, even if it'll have the proper height, the halacha will be that it won't be able to disqualify the bottom sukkah. Or another halacha that I saw the Sharet Zion in Siman Tov Reish Chav Chesiv Katan Hay quotes, if it won't be made out of the right type of walls which make a sukkah kosher, so too it will not have the ability to disqualify the bottom sukkah. Because Shmuel keeps on saying, but the basis of Shmuel's opinion is that the upper sukkah has to be a proper sukkah. However, Rav Chisda and Rav Huna and Rabbi Rav Huna certainly all don't agree to this, because they said a distance of a tefach, a distance of four tefachim, has the ability to disqualify. And they don't say that to be considered a sukkah tacha sukkah, the upper sukkah has to be a full-fledged sukkah. And therefore, the halacha will be that according to them, they don't have to have the proper width even to make that the bottom one should become disqualified. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, Yehuda Omer, Im ein de yurim bel yoyna tachtonik sheira. Yehuda says, if there's nobody in the upper sukkah, the bottom one is kosher. Ask the Gemara, what does that mean? My ein de yurim. Ilema, de yurim mamish, that there's nobody in the upper sukkah, that according to Yehuda depends if there is or isn't somebody in the upper sukkah. Ask the Gemara, Ota the Urim Kogarmi, is it depend on the upper people, if there's people in the upper sukkah or not? Is the halach of sukkah tacha sukkah, as we just quoted, we just looked at the Gemara, quoting the Gemara from previous year, that the Torah says besukkahs, one sukkah, not two sukkahs, so a sukkah tacha sukkah is possible, it doesn't make a difference if the upper sukkah is a kosher sukkah or not. Alav, what is the definition? Ain't the Urim? Kol she'ener rui ladira. That the upper sukkah is not place where we can live. Vechidami, what does that mean? The loigava asar tvachim. The loigava, it's not 10 tvachim high, and therefore it's a dira serucha. And as we learned at the beginning of our masechta, any area which is not a livable, a place where you could easily live, is not considered a valid sukkah. And as I saw, the Brisker Rav explains, when we look at a sukkah that's less than 10 tefachim tall, we know it's disqualified, we look at it from two points. One is, because as we learned earlier in our Masechta, there are rules as far as mechitza. What is considered a proper mechitza? And we learned that a mechitza is only considered a proper mechitza when it's 10 tefachim tall. And therefore, if this sukkah is not 10 tefachim tall, it doesn't have the proper walls to make a kosher sukkah. But we also learned, says the Brisker Rav, that there's a concept of dira serucha, as the Gemara taught us in Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, when there are chutzin, when there are pieces of reed hanging down into your sukkah. And therefore, if it's not 10 tefachim tall, it doesn't have any of the qualifications of being a kosher sukkah. Mechlal, and that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, under such circumstances, the upper sukkah is not able to disqualify the lower sukkah. But that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanakhama now, Mishnah, disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Mechlal, obviously, what is the opinion of Tanakhama? Sha'afa pishal yona ened ruya ladira. Even though the upper sukkah is not a place where one can live, it's still possible. So we see that even if the upper sukkah doesn't have what it takes to be a kosher sukkah, it still has the ability to disqualify the bottom sukkah. Clearly different than what Shmuel said. Says the Gemara, Yos Rav Dimi. So Rav Dimi says, we're misinterpreting what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say in the Mishnah. Says Yos Rav Dimi, Omer, Amri Memarova, they said in Etzisrol, Emeina Tachtoina Yechoyel Kabel Karim Vakasa Shalayoina. What Rabbi Yehuda meant to say was that if the upper sukkah It's the floor, as we mentioned earlier, the floor of the upper sukkah is the schach of the bottom sukkah. If it's so weak that people can't put their blankets there, what they need to sleep on, then the chatayr is kshera. Because if it's a place that one can't sleep there, the halacha is that it's not considered a valid sukkah. And Rashi explains that what is kind of a custom? Because it's a place you need to be able to bring your blankets and pillows to sleep in the upper sukkah. So ask the Avni Nezer that why is that a disqualification? Maybe you can't bring your blankets and your bed to sleep there, but maybe you could eat there. Says the Avni Nezer, from here we see a chiddush, that if you put up your sukkah in a place where you can't sleep, but you could eat. Let's say you put up your sukkah in the street, and there's people that are on the street. So you wouldn't have a problem eating there, because if there's going to be an intruder, you're up. You wouldn't sleep there because somebody could come in during the night. Says the Avni Nezer, that we're learning that since the Torah HaKadosh, when it speaks about the sukkah, says Teishu came to Dura, and what does it mean we live in a sukkah? We live in a sukkah means we eat and sleep. And therefore, if it's a sukkah that is not a place where you could sleep, even though it's a place where you could eat, the halacha is it's not a kosher sukkah. And really, this is the opinion of the Mordechai. The Chacham Tzvi disagrees, and he says that a sukkah, if it's a place where you could eat, even though it's not a place where you could sleep, it doesn't disqualify the sukkah. So says the Gemara. So now we're understanding that Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that if the upper sukkah is in a way that it's not a place, as Rashi says, where you could sleep, maybe it's not a place where you could really live, then it doesn't have the ability to disqualify. But as we pointed out, the Tanakhama and our Mishnah disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda. Mechlal the Tanakhama, Sover, Afapi, and Ruil Kabul, even though the upper sukkah is not a place where you could sleep or eat or anything, it still has the ability to disqualify the lower sukkah. But the question is, why is that the case? If it's a place where you can't sleep, then it's not you can't do anything, then it's certainly not a valid sukkah. Answers the Gemara, Ikka Benayu, the way to understand the machloikas between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is the Choy L'Kabal Yidei Tchak. It is livable, but it's only livable with difficulty. According to Tanakama, once it's livable, even though, albeit only with difficulty, it's enough to be considered a valid sukkah. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says that if it's not livable, only ayidei tchak, it's not easily livable, that's not considered a valid sukkah. And the machloikis between the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda is very much consistent with their opinions throughout this mesechta. We learned many times that the Chachamim, the Tanakama's opinion is that a sukkah has to be is a diras arai, whereas the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda is that a sukkah is a diras kva. So that's why Rabbi Yehuda says in our Mishnah, as explained now by the Gemara, that if it's a sukkah that you can only live in it ayidei etchak, so certainly that's not a diras kva. Since it's certainly not a diras kva, that's why it's a disqualified sukkah. Whereas the opinion of Rabbanan is that as long even a deir sarai is considered a valid sukkah, and since they hold that even a deir sarai is considered a valid sukkah, that would make that the upper sukkah, which is only a day tchak, it's going to be a valid sukkah. There is a very fundamental question that needs to be discussed by the Rishonim. We were just analyzing the opinion of Shmuel. That Shmuel says that in order to have a situation of sukkah al gabi sukkah, you have to have a situation where the upper sukkah is a real sukkah. That's why Shmuel said that the upper sukkah has to be 10 tefachim tall. If it's not 10 tefachim tall, it's not a sukkah, and it wouldn't create an environment of sukkah tachas sukkah. We also learned now, according to Shmuel, if the upper sukkah is not a livable in sukkah, meaning it's a sukkah that can't bear the weight of somebody sleeping, eating there, again, that creates a disqualification of the sukkah. What that's all in understanding the opinion of Shmuel. But we also quoted at the beginning of the sugya the opinion of Rav Huna and Rav Chisda and Rabbi Rav Huna that said much smaller shiurim. Rav Huna said that the difference is a tefach. Rav Chisda said that the difference is four tefachim. And the question is, what will they hold if the upper schach, which is distant, which has this distance that we just spoke about, if the upper schach, which has this distance, is a weak schach that you can't live on, that it's not strong enough for a person to sit there on. Will they agree that that would prevent that this should be considered a situation of schach al gabi schach? Or since they're not bought into this entire concept that we have been discussing, that the upper sukkah to be considered an issue is when the upper sukkah is truly a sukkah, and this is not truly a sukkah, so it could be, according to them, you would have a problem, the Rishonim debate, of sukkah tacha sukkah, even if the upper schach is very weak. Teaches us the Mishnah. Pirus al asadin. If somebody put on top of the sukkah, asadin, a piece of material, b'nei chama, that the sun should not be able to penetrate into the sukkah, or tachtel, he put a piece of material under the schach, nei nesher, to prevent anything from falling into the sukkah. The halacha is that the sukkah is not going to be a kosher sukkah, as we're going to learn in the Mishnah. Because since this piece of material is not qualified to be a sukkah, and since it's not qualified to be a kosher sukkah, that makes that by having it there, the sukkah becomes posel. However, we're talking and explain the Rishonim that even in the case where the sukkah is a kosher sukkah on its own, because you have the proper amount of schach of tzilsim rabbi mechamtza, that doesn't make a difference. This material, which is not kosher sach, disqualifies the entire sukkah. So Tosfos asks that we learned earlier that if somebody has kosher sach, and then you have non-kosher sach, as long as you have the kosher sach, the halacha is that that sukkah is still kosher. So why over here is it not kosher? So the simple teretz is, that when do we say that it's kosher? It's b'shechofton. When the non-kosher sach is mixed into the kosher sach. In our case, it's separate. The piece of material is kept separate. And since it's separate, that's why you can't say that it shouldn't make a difference. Oy, Shapir Sagaba Kinef. If you have a bed in your sukkah and you have four poles on the four corners of your bed, and then you put a piece of material on top of those four poles, the sukkah is posel. Because again, it's considered like you're sleeping under the material, not under the schach. Ava Pyrus Agab and the Klita Mita. What they used to have, as we're going to see in the Gemara, they used to have a pole at the two heads of the bed, just two poles, and then they put a piece of material like a triangle over the bed. In such a situation, it's considered the piece of material over there, it does not disqualify your sukkah. Amar Rav Chisda. So says Rav Chisda, the halacha that we began this Mishnah with, that if you put a piece of material on top or below your schach, it disqualifies your sukkah, El Bnei Nesher, that you put that material to prevent something from falling into your sukkah. Avla noisoi, if you put it there just for nois sukkah, then the halacha will be its kshera. Since you didn't put it for the purpose that it should protect you, you only put it there for noi, it's not considered schach. When is there a problem? When, as we just mentioned a moment ago, when you did it for shame schach, and when it's done for shame schach, and it's posel schach, and it's not, and it's separate, and it's identifiably separate, then it's posel. But if you didn't do it for that purpose, it's the way you want to decorate your sukkah, then the halacha is that it's fine. Ask the Gemara, pshita, it's poshut. Didn't the Mishnah say, nei neshetanan, that it's only a problem when you put it up for that purpose? Answers the Maamad Taima, who had in that fill of noisoy. That even if you put it up for nois sukkah, it would disqualify the sukkah. But hide it tonight of Nei Nesher. So why did the Mishnah seem to specify that it's only a problem when you put it up for Nesher? Answers the Gemara Urcha de Milsuktani. The Mishnah is teaching us a chiddush. Kamash Malon, the Mishnah wants to teach us that even though that's the purpose people normally do, people put up the schach for, put up this piece of material for protection, but teaches us the Mishnah, if that was not your intention, rather your intention was for noi, then it's going to be kosher, and the fact that you could say, well, that's not what normally people put it up for, would not make a difference. Says the Gemara, Leim Masayilei, I'll bring your raya to Rav Chisda, explanation and this psak halacha from the following brisa. So the brisa speaks about a sukkah. You made your sukkah like the halacha requires you to make the sukkah. Tzilsim ruba mechamtza vitra, and you beautify it bekramim with nice pieces of material or sedanim and mitziyarim, or these sheets that are decorated. Talab a gozim mashkedim a faskim v'remainim. You hung up in your sukkah nuts and almonds, pachila enovim, grapes, atarish al shiboilim, types of grain, yenos, wine, shmanim, oil, saltus, flour, osla stapuk behem, you may not have any anor from the sukkah for the entire yontav sukkahs, ad matzi yontav achron shel chag, until after shmini atzeres. Why? Because they become hooked to the mitzvosai. But if when you hung them up, you made a tanai that you're going to be able to use them, hako lefi tanai. But what does this Mishnah clearly say? That they used to hang up in the sukkah these pieces of material. So we see that hanging up pieces of material is not a disqualification. And says the Gemara, this braisa is not a raya to Rav Chisda. Because here we're talking about Dilma Menatzad. It's talking about that you put them up on the walls. On the walls, it's not a problem. But on the roof of the sukkah, either above the schach or below the schach, that would be a problem, as we learned in our Mishnah. And it would be a problem even if it was your intention that it should just be nois sukkah. So we don't have a raya to this halacha. Our Mishnah, our Gemara, just taught us the halacha of nois sukkah. And there's a very interesting tshuva in the Shalos Tshuvos Igros Moshe, Oyer Chaim Chelek Hei, Simen Lametes and Mem. And he discusses the various nois sukkah. And he says, why do we put up nois sukkah? He says, the reason we put up a nois sukkah is because, as we quoted the Pasuk a little while ago, Teishvu Ka'en Tiduru. Just like we beautify our homes, we have to beautify our sukkah. And therefore, says Rav Moshe, hanging decorations in a sukkah, which are the type of decorations people would not hang in their home. People don't hang up chains. Rav Moshe says people don't hang up paper chains, aluminum chains in their home. Therefore, they're not considered noi sukkah. Noi sukkah, Rav Moshe says, is something that you hang in your home. It's a very bechiddush for Rav Moshe. It's essentially tells us that the way most people decorate the sukkah is not what the halacha tells us to do. How do we understand the minhag olam? So there's two ways that I think we could explain the minhag olam. One is that when we speak about, well, if we would have a room that we're only going to be in 7-8 days, maybe we would hang up this type of decoration. Another pshat. Going back to a concept that we've discussed in our shiurim already here in Masechet Sukkah. The purpose of sitting in the sukkah is to remember that we're sitting in the Tzila Demnusa. And if we hang up the wine and the oil that which represents the Chag HaOsif, and we hang up signs that have sukkim on there, tefillos on them, all these are ways to remember that we're sitting in the sukkah, that we should sit in the sukkah like the halacha tells us to sit in the sukkah, and therefore maybe this type of nois sukkah is mutter. So we just learned that the halacha is that the nois sukkah is muksa for the duration of yontif, and even for Shmini Atzeres, even in Etz Yisrael, that they sit in the sukkah, that they don't sit in the sukkah Shmini Atzeres. But since, as we discussed in the previous year, Hoshana Rabbah in the afternoon, they sit in the sukkah, that's enough that it should become huktzah at that point. And we know Migdis Katsoy Leben Hashmashis is Katsoy Lekula Yoyma. But the Gemara did teach us that you have, if you make a Tanai at the beginning of Yontif, that you should be allowed to use the Noi Sukkah, then your Tanai works. Even though you make such a Tanai, so the Paiskim say one should avoid making the Tanai. Furthermore, when if he's going to make the Tanai, he should say that I want it not to be muktzah for the entire sukkahs. If you're just going to make the Tanai for the first Bein HaShemashos, once the second Bein HaShemashos comes, then it'll already be muktzah. And therefore, Tanai, the Beis Yosef says the way you should articulate the Tanai is by say, Eta Oysom Kolz Man Sheretzah. I should be able to take him any time that I want. But even though that's the halacha, the Paiskim all teach us that one should not take off the Noi Sukkah. It's a bizui to the Sukkah, and this Noi Sukkah should remain on the Sukkah. I however did see there are two exceptions to that rule. One exception to that rule, the Chassam Sofer, the Shalosh Tshuvos Chassam Sofer, Or Chaim, Simon Kuf Bei Dalet, discusses a situation where somebody hung up in a Sukkah, which is very common, an Esrig for a Noi Sukkah. And then, and it's a kosher Esrig. And now on Cholamoid, somebody doesn't have an Esrig. Are you allowed to take off that Esrig to give it to the person to be Yotze the Mitzvah? He says that you're allowed to. He says, it's Huktzul Mitzvasoi. The Noi Sukkah becomes Huktzul Mitzvasoi. But you're not using this Esrig for your own personal use. You're using the Esrig that you should be able to be Mekayim the Mitzvah of Dalaminim. And it's certainly not a Bizui Mitzvah if you're using the Esrig for that purpose. The Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Yud Gimel Simen Samech Zayin says that even though we're being very strict about the Noi Sukkah and you should make a condition, and we learned that the condition isn't always effective and you should not necessarily make the condition, but says, and in fact, that's what the Achrayim all say, the Ramah says, Bezman Azeh, says the Ramah, Ein noyagin lahasnois, we don't make it tonight. But says the Tzitz Eliezer, this question comes up. You have children that Baruch Hashem make Noi Sukkah, and they're going to the grandparents for Yontif. And they're going to be by one set of grandparents for one part of Yontif, and by another set of grandparents for the other part of Yontif. And they want to show off the beautiful Noi Sukkah that they made, that they want to hang in the Sukkah. So in that case, says the Tzitz Eliezer, that you're not doing it as a bizui mitzvah. On the contrary, you're showing how important the mitzvah of sukkah is, how to show to the children that you appreciate the nice sukkah that they made for the sukkah, and therefore, under those situations, says the Tzitz Eliezer, you would be allowed to take this nice sukkah from one sukkah to the next. Itmar, nice sukkah, says the Gemara, if you have nice sukkah hanging in the sukkah, aim a matam a sukkah. That means if you have a sukkah that's too tall and then you hung Noi Sukkah, that doesn't mean that the Noi Sukkah is considered an extension of the schach and now you don't have too high. Or vice versa. If your sukkah is too low and you hang Noi Sukkah, and maybe now that will take your sukkah, as we discussed earlier in this year, to be too low, it'll be less than 10 tefachim tall, it will not make a difference, and in both of these cases, the sukkah still would be kosher or possible. Omer Ravashi, however, imna tzad. If we said you hung up my sukkah on the side, that and now, as we learned, that the minimum dimensions of a sukkah are zayin al zayin, but by hanging them up this way, you will not have the zayin al zayin. Then the halacha is that the sukkah is possible. You don't have the proper zayin al zayin, then it's possible because the sukkah has to have those dimensions. So the Rishonim explain why is there a difference between the noi sukkah that are hanging down that doesn't bother us and the noi sukkah on the wall. So the Rishonim explain noi sukkah that are hanging down, they're not hanging down over the entire width of the sukkah. Since they're not hanging down over the entire width of the sukkah, so doesn't so there's still way to manage in the sukkah, even if it's a low sukkah. But the nice sukkah that's hanging on the wall, it just makes the sukkah narrower. And since it makes the sukkah narrower, that's why it's possible. Daruch Haner, along the same lines, explains the isser of a sukkah not being 10 tefachim, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta Daf Hei, is Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai, and therefore, only in the specific circumstances is it considered possible. The Zayin al Zayin, the Gemara never said that it's based on a drasha, never said it's based necessarily on Halach L'Moshe M'Sinai. It's based on a practical consideration. And if the practical consideration is not here because your sukkah is not livable, it's possible. Minyamin Avdei de Rav Ashi. Minyamin, who was the Eved Rav Ashi, ish the Mishleik Sunta B'mayim. His shirt got wet in the water. And he spread it out on top of the sukkah in order to dry it. Amalei Rav Ashi, so Rav Ashi said, Dalia, please take it off from the top of the sukkah. The Lo Lemru, that people shouldn't come Chas V'Shalom to make the mistake and believe that Kam Masachim B'davim Kabel Tumma. As we learned from the beginning of the Mishnah, you couldn't use a shirt for schach, and the people are going to see that you have schach on top of your sukkah, that they're going to think that you're allowed to use such a shirt, such material for schach. So he asked him, everybody sees that it's wet. And if it's wet, it's obvious that I put it up there for drying, not to use for schach. Answers the Gemara, I'm concerned that people are not, while it's wet, I'm not worried. What I meant to tell you was that you're not allowed, you have to take it off after it gets dry. Because once it gets dry, it's not a problem because once it gets dry, that's when people are going to start being concerned that we're concerned for Maris Ayin, that people are going to think that you could use such an object for schach. Says the Gemara, Itma, noy sukkah. So we go back to the subject of the noy sukkah. Noy sukkah mflogim imenu arba. If the noy sukkah are hanging lower than four tefachim from the schach, now we have a question, do they have the ability to passel the sukkah or not? Rav Nachman Amik Sheira, Rav Nachman says the sukkah is still kosher, since you will put them up, going back to the concept of Chizda taught us, since they were put up for the purpose of being noy sukkah and not tzchach, so they're bottled to the tzchach. Rav Chizda, Rav Amri Psula, since they're four tefachim away from the tzchach, and we spoke earlier in our shiur today, that four tefachim is considered a makom choshev, so they're not considered noy sukkah. They're considered they get a separate independent identity. When you're sleeping under them, you're not sleeping under the sukkah. You're sleeping under the noy sukkah, and that's not what you're supposed to sleep and eat under in sukkahs. You're supposed to eat and sleep under the schach. Rav Chizkiya, Rav Nachman, Rabbi Rav Huna Ikul Bei Reish Galusa. They came to the home of Reish Galusa and Gina, Rav Nachman, Rav Gavin put them to sleep. A sukkah she noyeh meflog memeno. In a sukkah with a noy sukkah, were hanging lower than four tefachim. Ishtiku, and they were quiet. V'loyamer loymidi, and they didn't say anything. Amr. So Rav Nachman said to Rav Chizkiya Rav Huna, obviously, hodabu rabbana mishmatzei. You must have retracted from your saying that you can't sleep under that part of a sukkah where a noy sukkah is hanging so low. So they said to him, Anan shluchim mitzvah nan. We are shluchim mitzvah, because the halacha is chayiv adam lahagbo play rabbi berego, and we don't have to sleep in the sukkah altogether. We're p'torim in a sukkah. And therefore, since we didn't have to sleep in the sukkah, so even though in our opinion the sukkah is possible, it doesn't make a difference. Of course, says Tosfos, the heter that you can rely on shluchim mitzvah taught them in a sukkah is only when they could not have found a sukkah that was good, that was a kosher sukkah. So then they have a heter that they don't have to sleep in the sukkah. But if they could have just as easily found a sukkah that was a kosher sukkah, then the halacha would be that you're not allowed to, they could not sleep in the sukkah. So the Tva asks a question. It's obvious that Rav Nachman was not aware that they were shluchim mitzvah. But he was aware that they held that this type of sukkah is possible. So how could he let them sit in such a sukkah? Isn't there a concern of lifnei iva l'sita michshol? I'm giving you something that you hold is asur. So he answers, when is there a halacha of lifnei evil asita michshol? The halacha lifnei evil asita michshol only applies in a situation where the person who would be doing something wrong doesn't know he's doing something wrong. Here the sukkah is very clear how the sukkah is built, how the nice sukkah hanging. So he, if they held, they're not allowed to sleep in that sukkah, it's not me doing anything wrong by giving them to sleep in such a sukkah. It's obvious that it's such a sukkah. So here we see that if you give some, so based on this, we learn that if you give something to somebody else to eat, that according to you, you're allowed to eat the food, but he holds you're not allowed to eat the food. The halacha is that if it's obvious that that's the status of this food, then you didn't do anything wrong because he sees what the food is and now he's going to make his own decisions in life. But in a situation where he can't know what the food is, you're eating in someone's home and the food is not in a package and you're serving him dairy and it's not Chalv Yisrael. You're serving him bread and it's not Pas Yisrael. And your guest is Makban on Chalv Yisrael. Your guest is Makban on Pas Yisrael and he has no way of knowing unless you tell him. It seems that according to the Ritva, the halacha is that you have to tell him. Others disagree, and they hold that you don't have. If you hold it's kosher and you're serving it in your home, you don't have to tell the guest. It's the obligation of the guest. It's the obligation of the guest that he should check what is the status of the food, and you do what you think is right, and then the guest should do what he wants. But the Ramah in Yoridea Simen Kuf Yotes. Siv Zion says, Misha noig be'ezer dover iser. If somebody holds that something is asur, mikoyich shesove shadiru wachi, because he holds that that is the halacha, or mikoyich chumash shech malatmai, or he's machman himself, mutalach l'macherim shenoig be'heter, I could eat in a person's house that doesn't follow my chumras, because says the Ramah, the vade lo yichilu dover shenoig be'iser. My host who knows what my chumris will not give me something that I hold him not allowed to eat. And the Shach in Sifkot Chof explains like this. If you eat something, if you are machmer because you think something is osur, and you eat in the home of somebody who holds its mutter, if it's obvious that this is the status of the food, no notification is required. But if it's not noticeable, then you have to tell your guest this is what the food is all about. However, he says further that let's say I don't eat something because of a minig. He says, if I don't eat something because of a minig, interestingly, he holds that we have to be more machmer. And there, you would have to tell me that this food is osur and that this food is of this status. And now you make your decision if you'll eat it or not. Amar Yudam Shmuel. Mutalish Bakila, you could sleep on a bed that has on top of it a canopy, that has poles with a canopy with a sheet on top of it. Vabbi Shesh Loy Gag, even though it has a roof that's a tefach wide, Vush Enegoy Vasara. If the poles are not ten tefachim tall. Toshma asked the Gemara, it says in the Braisa, Hayosh Mikil Basukah, Lo Yotzei Yedei Chavasoi. So it says here clearly that you're not Yotzei when you sleep under the canopy. Answers the Gemara, Hachamay Eskinen, Shegevaya Asoro. It's talking about where it's 10 tefachim tall. And that's why it's a problem. But if it weren't 10 tefachim tall, it wouldn't be a problem. Meisvei, we're going to learn in the Mishnah, Daf Chafam Abeis, Hayosh and Tachsamit Basukah, Lo Yotzei Yedei Chavasoi. And it seems that even if it's not 10 tefachim tall, you still have a problem. Answers the Gemara, Targum Shmuel, but Mita Gvaya Sara, that the bed is 10 tefachim tall. That's why it's an issue. But were it not to be 10 tefachim tall, it would not be an issue. Toshma, we learned in our Mishnah, Shapir Salgabi Knoifus, if you have poles around the bed in your sukkah and you put a piece of material on top of it, Psula. Hasanami says the Gemara, that's the Gvaya Sara. Our Mishnah again is talking about it's 10 tefachim tall. Ask the Gemara for a like Tani Hachi. We learned not like that in the Brisa, because the Brisa says, the klitim, what is the definition of klitim? Shnaim, when you have two poles, one at the head of the bed one at the foot of the bed, and then you have a pole going across these two poles, and you put a piece of material that looks like a triangle. Kinoifis or arba, says the Brice, appears al gabi kinoifis. If you put a piece of material on top of the kinoifis, then it's psula. You're not yoy to the midst of your sleep under that. Al gabi nekitin shera, says the Raisa, when is it okay if you're under the Nakletin? Uvachlo yeu Nakletin gvoyim mita asara, if they're not 10 tefachim tall. Mechlal, isn't the Raisa teaching us the Knoifis abishen gvoyim asara? So isn't the Raisa teaching us the Knoifis poles, it doesn't make a difference how tall or short they are, it's always a problem. Nakletin, does a nafkamina if it's 10 or not? Answers the Gemara, Shani Knoifis, the kviya. The kenoifis are not the same as a kila. A kenoifis are much more firm, and therefore, even though when they're not 10 tefachim tall, that they're a problem. Whereas the case that Shmuel spoke about, they're not, the kila is not in that firm, and therefore it's only a problem when it's 10 tefachim tall. Ask the Gemara. Rei sukkah gabi sukkah the kviya. When we speak about the aloch that we spoke about at the beginning of our shiur, sukkah gabi sukkah, am Shmuel, kech sher kach psula. So according to Shmuel, that even a firm sukkah, it's only 10 tefachim. So we see that doesn't make a difference if it's firm or not. Amri hasam, the lemifsa sukkah. There we're trying to disqualify the sukkah because the sukkah tachas sukkah. So only a sar tefachim has the ability to do so. Hochad l'shavya ola. Here we're not talking about sukkah dacha sukkah. Here we want to create a new, here it's a totally new shaila. The shaila is, are you sleeping in a separate oil? And here for batzim asara, if it's less than 10 tefachim, if it's firm, it's considered an oil. And therefore, according to Shmuel, the halacha will be as follows. If it's firm, it's always considered an oil, and therefore it's going to be a problem to sleep under such an area in the sukkah. If it's not firm, there's going to be enough kamina if it's 10 tefachim or not 10 tefachim.